Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to our reading of Juz 24 of the Quran, inshallah ta'ala, carrying on from yesterday's discussion on Surah Az-Zumar. And so now we come to the beginning of this Juz, sort of just carries on the themes of the previous Juz about the Day of Judgment, about rejection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it really affirms that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's oneness. There's a lot of alayhi sallahu bi kafin abda. Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not suffice for his slaves? Who can guide if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala misguides? How impotent and weak those gods that they've sort of propped up instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are? Alaysa Allah bi azizin thi intiqam? Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not the invincible, the one who gives vengeance or has vengeance? And then they ask them, that even when you ask the mushrikeen who created the heavens and the earth, they have to say Allah. But then they call on other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can they remove, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends harm, can they remove that harm? Of course they can't. And if they, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends to engulf somebody in his mercy, can these people deprive that mercy? No, they can't. Everything is just the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then it talks about, and so that becomes a very important point, especially at this opening juncture of this juz. It is Allah who gives life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gives death, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who causes people to go to sleep. All of these things are signs. لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ For people that truly reflect, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has all the intercession. For him is the dominion of the heavens and the earth. Ultimately, everybody will return to him. وَإِذَا ذُكِرَ That when the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned, sorry, I had a slight glitch on the hearts of those who don't believe in the hereafter, they fill with disgust, a'udhu billah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator from nothing of the heavens and of the earth, sorry, the knower of the seen and the unseen. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just talks about how everything will become unveiled on the day of judgment, all of the punishments, and there's nothing that can sort of remove these things. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then has this incredible verse. This is at the end, this is verse number 53. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ That say, O my slaves, those that have wronged themselves, do not despair from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all sins, and indeed He is the forgiving, the merciful. And then it carries on to say, and turn entirely to your Lord, and submit yourselves to him before the punishment comes, and there will be no forms of assistance, and follow the revelation, and there will be a day of immense regret. There's this verse, antaqula nafsun ya hasrata, oh what regret over what I did, or my failings, and my overstepping in the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that lo anna Allah hadani, if Allah had guided me, I would have been from the God conscious. Then all of these reflections, that when they see the punishment, if I had another chance, then I would go and do the good. But it's too late. بَلَقَدْ جَاءَتْكَ آيَاتِي The signs came. You rejected them. You were arrogant. And then you were from the disbelievers. Now you're going to see this all. أَلَيْسَ فِي جَهَنَّمَ مَثْوَى لِلْمُتَكَبِّرِينَ There's a strong reflection on the sense of arrogance that people have that drives them to reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person who disobeys Allah with humility is not like the man who disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through a sense of immense arrogance. And the person of humility, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at some point, as long as the tawfiq is there, will always bring him back. But the person of arrogance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, drives him away, blinds him to the signs. سَأَصْرِفُ عَنْ آيَاتِيَ الَّذِينَ We discussed that verse before. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns him away from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of his arrogance. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, moving forward, talks about the Day of Judgment. وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَبَضَتُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ That all of the earth will be His grabbed by him on the day of judgment, and the heavens will be folded up in his right hand. These are all metaphors of the power and how much control and dominion Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already has, but how much it will become unveiled to the unordained eye. Subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yushrikun. Glory to Allah, and He is elevated beyond that which they associate with Him. And then it moves to verse number 68, when nufikha fi sur, that the trumpet will be blown, and everything will be in a state of immense shock. And knocked unconscious, إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ نُفِخَ فِيهِ أُخْرَى Then the second blowing and everybody will rise. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about on that day what will happen. وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ This is a famous ruku' that many an imam who recites in various prayers, that the disbelievers will be driven in groups. This is the idea of zumar. This is what the surah is talking about. The groups that people will come in. When they get there, the doors of Jahannam will be opened and they'll be asked, did a prophet not come? Did he not recite the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Did he not warn you of the meeting of this day? So of course he did. But at that point, the punishment has already been ordained for these people. They will be asked to enter the fire of hell. And then the God-conscious people, those who had constant awareness and protection of themselves with regards to their Lord, they will come to Jannah in groups. The doors will be opened. They will say, Salamu alaikum, Salamu alaikum, peace upon you. Tibtum, everything's good. Fadkhuluha khalideen, enter for eternity. And then this is what the people of Jannah will say. وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي صَدَقَنَا وَعْدًا All praise is due to Allah, who is true to His promise. وَأَوْرَثَنَا الْأَرْضَ نَتَبَوَّأُ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ حَيْثُ نَشَاءُ فَنِعْمَ أَجْرُ الْعَامِلِينَ And then you'll see the angels around the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praising Him. And then the surah finishes. وَقِيلَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ And the last thing to be said will be, All praises for Allah, Lord of the world. It's a very beautiful ending of this beautiful, incredible surah. Our next surah today is Surah Al-Mu'min. This starts with Hamim, the Huruf Muqatta'at, and then obviously that means there was going to be a discussion of the Quran. And then it starts with this idea of forgiveness, Ghafir al-Thumb, the forgiver of sins, Qabil al-Tawb, the acceptor of repentance, Shadeed al-Iqab. So you don't forget, a lot of time what happens is people become too dependent on this false assumption or false understanding of the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's saying that forgiveness of sins and acceptance of repentance, and that ultimately he has vengeance, he has punishment, and he is very severe in that punishment. The power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being spoken about here, and the bounties and the length, it's this idea of length, La ilaha illahu ilayhi al-masir. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the rejectors on the day of judgment, or the rejectors, those people who rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كذبت قبلهم before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, don't be deluded by what they're doing in the towns. All these lies and all their spreading and all this deceit, people did it before them. And ultimately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took them to account. فأخذتهم, I grabbed them. فكيف كان عقاب? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the angels, those that carry the throne, those that traverse it, seeking, exonerating and glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praising Him. And then making istighfar, the angels of the throne, very incredible. They make istighfar for the believers. And there's all these du'as that they make. رَبَّنَا وَسِعَتِ كُلَّ شَيْءَ رَحْمَةً وَعِلْمًا فَغْفِرْ لِلَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَاتَّبَعُوا سَبِيلَكَ وَقِهِمْ عَذَابَ الْجَحِيمِ Protect them from the hellfire. Those that make tawbah and those that follow your path, enter them into the garden that you have promised. And those righteous from amongst their forefathers and their spouses and their children, surely you are the invincible, the wise. Protect them from the evil. And then whosoever is protected from the evil that day, well, surely you have shown mercy to them. And that is ultimately the greatest of victories or the greatest of successes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then speaks about those that will be called, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad, about the rejection, about how these people rejected Iman when they had the chance. And now they're going to have to taste the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يومهم بارزون, everybody will be given on that day. So talking about the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the day of judgment. So here, if you look from verses يوم الطلاق, the day of the meeting, from verse 15 onwards, that the day everything will become unveiled, nothing will be hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day. لمن الملك اليوم, the call will be made, who has dominion today? For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, the all-powerful. اليوم التجزى, the day where every single soul will be given that which it earned. لا ظلم اليوم, there is no oppression today. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is quick in the judgment that He passes. Warn them of the day, the coming day, when the hearts will be in the throats. There's this intense trepidation that people will feel on that day. There's nobody to help them, nobody to assist them, no intercessors. And everything that they did, all the khiyana, deception, treachery of their eyes, and all that their hearts hid, will all become unveiled on that day. So there's this immense, powerful depiction of the unveilings of the Day of Judgment. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about, go and travel the earth and see what happened to the people who came for. Go see the result or the aftermath of the civilizations that declared war on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كَانُوا أَشَدَّ مِنْهُمْ قُوَّةً They were more powerful and they had more dominion over the earth. And they were grabbed for their sins. I mean, I don't know what day it is that this will go out, but today or yesterday we heard the news. Shifa Hospital bombed, destroyed, 30, 40,000 people massacred, genocide. فَأَخَذَهُمُ اللَّهُ بِذُنُوبِهِمْ Allah will grab them for their sins. And there's nobody that can protect you from Allah. Allah is the protection. If you want protection, you've got to go to God. And these people, they've declared war on God, and nobody's going to protect them. Not heifers and not, you know, iron domes and all of these things. Everything on that day, nothing will be of use. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about our prophet, the great prophet, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, the prophet of Islam, who came to Bani Israel, who they rejected. He comes with all these signs, and he comes to Fir'aun, the ruler, the God, self-proclaimed God ruler, A'udhu billah, Haman, his advisor, Qarun, the snake, the wolf in sheep's clothing, the Israelite sellout. You can't say, you know, apparently you can't even say Uncle Tom anymore because it's racist. Allah. Anyways, and these are, and they called him a magician. And then what does he say? Uqtulu abna' alladhina amanu ma'ahu. Kill all of them. Kill all the children. Kill their boys. Wastahiyu nisa'ahum. Keep their women alive. For what? For use, for slavery, for these things. Qala fir'aunu. Leave me, let me kill Musa. And so he wants Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to be killed. And then Musa alayhi salatu wasalam seeks protection. And then you have the story of the man, وَقَالَ رَجُلٌ مُؤْمِنٌ. We have the believing man, مِنْ آلِ فِرْعَوْنُ, from the family of the Pharaoh, from the family of power, from the family of authority, يَكْتُمُ إِيمَانَهُ, who hides his faith. Do you kill a man? All he says is, I believe my Lord is Allah. And all of these signs that have come. If he's a liar, then upon him is his lies. If he's truthful, then he'll be afflicted. You will attain some of that which he promises. Like, if you believe in him, then it's good, isn't it? Like, he's a prophet and everything's going to be okay. And then he's saying, oh, my people, you're so powerful. But who's going to help you, save you from the punishment of God when it comes? And so now you have to read the tafasir, because they talk about this is the man who he hides his faith, but he's sort of giving advice, but in a sort of, not indirect, but sort of this direct, implicit way, that not to give away the fact that he believes in Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And then he says, I fear for the what's going to happen to you on the day of judgment, that nobody will be able to protect you on that day. Remember when Yusuf came? Do you remember Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam? History, he's calling to the history that they share. You didn't believe what he said, and then you were destroyed. So, you know, and then he's saying, at the end, he puts all of this, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, كَذَلِكَ يَتْبَعُ اللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ قَلْبٍ مُتَكَبِّرٍ جَبَّارٍ. But these are people of arrogance. You can make all the conversations, put forward all the cases, they're not going to accept. And what does Fir'aun say? Build me the tower. I want to go see. I want to see the God of Musa, and I want to see, because I believe he's a liar. And then the man comes back. He says, follow me. You know, ittabi'uni. It's very different, because the man of Yasin says ittabi'u, ittabi'u al-mursaleen. Yeah, he says ittabi'uni, I will guide you to the straight path. This life of the dunya is nothing. The life of the akhirah is where it's all going to happen. It's the place of stability. Everybody on the day, you have to read this. This is his advice. This is the man with the hidden faith. You have two men of advice. You see that there's three actually in the Quran. The one is who comes to Musa alayhi salam and tells him to escape after killing the man. The other two are the man of Yasin, who comes to give advice. And then there's the man from Surah Mu'min, Surah Ghafir. Also, this surah is also known as Surah Ghafir. There's the man who comes, who's from the family of the Pharaoh with the hidden faith. And he gives his advice. And each of these are very interesting. Maybe another time, inshallah ta'ala, we'll go through their stories in a lot more detail. But anyways, there's this discussion. He's calling them to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's warning them of all the punishments. And then they reject, and ultimately, النَّارُ يُعْرَضُونَ عَلَيْهَا غُدُوًا وَعَشِيًا. Day and night, they just have the fire presented to them. And they're going to be punished for what they did. The weak will say to the powerful, we just used to follow you. And then the powerful just say, إِنَّا كُلُّمْ فِيهَا nah, we're all in this together. إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ حَكَمَ بَيْنَ الْعِبَادَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the judgment. You know, because some people, like I mentioned before, they have this postmodern thing. If you have, you know, it's all power dynamics. And if you don't have power, you're not going to be held to account. A'udhu billah, everybody has individual autonomy to make choices. You'll be held to account for your choices. Verse 49 onwards about, they ask the keepers of hell to lower the punishment. And they're told, did the prophets not come with signs? Yes. So you ask, and your call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to lower the punishment is going to be of no avail. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inna lanansuru rusulana, we gave victory to our prophets and those who believe in we gave it all of this victory to them in the dunya and the day where the witness statements are established. Nobody will be saved on that day. No excuses will not help. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and you know, given the book and the guidance and told to be patient. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about those people who reject the signs because of their arrogance within. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look, the creation of the heavens and the earth is greater than the creation of man. But most people don't take heed of this. If Allah can create that, why can't He bring you back? Why can't He have dominion over you? Why can't He be the all-powerful? وَمَا يَسْتَوِ الْأَعْمَى وَالْبَصِيرُ is verse 58. The blind and the seeing, they're not the same. But the basir is not just the one who sees. He sees with depth, foresight. He sees the reality of things. The وَاطِنُ الْأُمُورِ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the Day of Judgment is inevitable. So there's no doubt in it, but most people don't believe. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about some of His signs, the night, so that you can rest therein, and the day. The earth that's been established, the sky as this sort of roof, and then the way that you've been created, and all of the sustenance Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, the all living, there is no God except Him, call on Him. He created you from dust, from all of these things, the progress of growth, the evolution of the human being, but like this sort of metaphysical evolution that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordains through nature. So not like Darwinian, materialistic, atheistic evolution. He is the one who creates, He is the one who gives life and death. When He ordains a matter, all He says is, be and it is. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we come to an end of this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about what's going to happen to the people on the Day of Judgment, that they're going to be chained and taken to the fire. Where are those that you associated with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Enter now the doors of the hellfire and stay therein forever. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلًا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ. We've sent many prophets before. Some of them we've told you about, some of them we haven't told you about. And it's not for a prophet that the signs come. That he could be given a miracle except with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then finally, it's just another discussion about the signs and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And فَلَمْ يَكُوا يَنْفَعُهُمْ إِيمَانُهُمْ, the last verse, that their iman will be of no avail on the day when they see our punishment, because then it's too late, because now you know the truth. It's so clear in front of you, there's no point accepting it now. This is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has preceded in his slaves. And then on here, the disbelievers have been losers. And this brings us to our last surah of the day. And today we might actually finish good for time there, because we haven't been going into a lot of detail. Maybe I'm not as strong on this juz as I have been on others, where I have some areas of tafsir. But anyways, Hamim Sajda, Hamim Tanzilu min ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Again, Huruf Muqatta'at, there's something about the Quran, like we mentioned before. And then it starts. Maybe it's because a lot of these are like Makki surahs, so the themes are very repetitive. So we're not going to go through the discussions about like the earth and the sun and the moon and stuff like that, because it's come up so many times at this point. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about people who have veils over their hearts, and they have blockers in their ears, and that's why they don't believe. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is told that, say, I'm just a human being like you. But the big distinction, yuha ilayya, I'm given revelation, your Lord is one Lord. You know, turn to Him and seek His forgiveness. Damnation for the polytheists. What is the signs of the polytheists? That they don't give their zakat. Very intriguing. الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْتُونَ zakat. They don't give their zakat, and they reject the Day of Judgment. And those who believe and do righteous actions, for them is an unprecedented reward. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in that all He's created, He created the earth in 2 days, and then you make partners with this, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the Lord of the cosmos. Dhalika, from this idea of ta'zeem, that, like, He's so great, beyond us, the Lord of the cosmos. And He put the mountains, and He placed all of the sustenance. And then it talks about the dukhan, the smoke. ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ وَهِيَ دُخَانٌ فَقَالَ لَهَا وَلِلْأَرْضِ ائْتِهَا. He said to it and the earth, come. Either by choice or come by no choice, coercion. This is how it is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to go to Him on the Day of Judgment. You either go by choice, by submitting to Him now, or you are forced to go to Him and you're dragged to Him. And they both said, we will come willingly. more about the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zayyana sama' dunya bimasabih wa hifdha, about the stars and the meteorites and all of these things. And if you turn away, then it's just going to be the sa'iqa, like the sa'iqa of Ad and Thamud, the punishment that was given to them that destroyed them, the wind and then the noise and everything is gone. The prophets came, now the rejection, the destroyed nations, it talks about when the prophets came from in front and from behind that don't worship anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they said, if our Lord wanted, he would have sent angels. You know, what's this? Men. As for Ad, they were arrogant upon the earth without right. He said, who is more powerful than us? Do they not see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who created them is more powerful than them? And they reject our signs. So we sent upon them this wind, rihan, this sort of terrifying wind that's sent to them, and that destroys them. They taste the disgrace of punishment. And then it talks about Thamud, the Qawm of Salih alayhi salatu wassalam, and they were grabbed by the punishment as well. Only the believers are saved from the punishment. And then there's going to be a day where all of the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are gathered at the fire, and everything will testify against them. Everything will testify against them. Their skin will testify against them. Their ears, their eyes. وَقَالُوا لِجُلُودِهِمْ, they'll say to their skin, why do you testify against us? قَالُوا أَنْتَقَنَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي أَنْتَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. Allah is causing us to speak, the one who causes everything to speak. He created you the first time, and you're going to go back to Him. Why are they so shocked that all of this is testifying against them? Do they not know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows a lot, everything that they've done? He knows so much about what they've done. And so this is a false opinion you have of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about how they were misguided by their friends, their companions, their Qur'ana, and so they beautified all of these evil actions for them, and at the end they were all losers. إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا خَاسِرِينَ. Then the disbelievers used to say, don't listen to the Qur'an, لَا تَسْمَعُوا لِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ وَلَغُوا فِيهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَغْلِبُونَ, and interrupt the Qur'an, make noise and do all of these things, distract people from the Qur'an. Like I mentioned before, all of these entertainment industries, they're just a means of distracting people from the Qur'an because they're scared. You hear the Qur'an, then you're going to challenge their status quo, their world. And so that's what they're saying. And they'll be, then we would give the disbelievers, they will taste our most painful punishment. And this is the punishment of those of the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the good believers and the evil people, the kuffar, and how they react to everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. Then you have the believers who say, our Lord is Allah, and then they stay firm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send angels upon them saying, don't fret, don't fear, and have glad tidings of Jannah that you have been promised. We are your companions in this life and the hereafter, and you will have whatever you want in there and whatever you seek. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the final sections now, I've called it da'wah because this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lays out the framework for how to give da'wah. What is better speech? Or who has better speech than the one who calls to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and does good actions and says, I am from the believers? Idfa billati hiya ahsan, repel all evil with just goodness, with that which is better. And then you will see that the person who you have enmity with, he'll become your closest friend. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about this. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks very briefly about some of his signs, about the night and the day and the moon and the sun. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't prostrate to the sun or the moon, prostrate to the one that created them. Very powerful. We have to think about this because it's not talking about the moon and the sun are just symbols of a shirk, of a form of shirk, of a system of shirk. They're not the object of worship in and of themselves. They're indirectly being given this power in order to maintain something completely different. And from his signs is that you see the earth in complete submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, look, here's the distinction. The one who comes thrown into the fire, is he better than the one who comes safely on the day of judgment? So do what you want, Allah is watching. This is very powerful verses. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about those who reject the dhikr when it comes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there's nothing, there's no batil in it. There's nothing wrong. There's no invalidity. There's no misguidance. There's no corruption. It's all just revelation from the wise, the one who is oft praised. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they only say to you that which they said to the prophets before. And your Lord is forgiving, and He has a very painful punishment. And even if we had made the Quran like they wanted it, they would have just complained about that. It doesn't matter whether it's Arabic or non-Arabic or all of these things, they just want to complain. And so it doesn't matter what you give them. Ultimately, there are people whose whole life is just built on obstinance and rejection. These are people who don't believe. Those who don't believe, their ears are sealed and they are completely blind. And they will be called from a far place. And this is a reference to the Day of Judgment. And then we'll stop here, inshallah ta'ala. So just some ideas on contentions to prophethood. Hamim said that again, Makki Surah. Lessons, punishment, I think is also called Surah Fussilat, about the dispersing of signs about the verses and how they've been dispersed and spread out. But some themes, forgive punishment, forgiveness, good and will. I think it's meant to good and evil. Do apologize. Secret believers and a lot of signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then final section, we spoke about da'wah. That da'wah is always done in the best way, in the most beautiful way, and that is the da'wah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our zooming in verse here is that the disbelievers would say, and they still say, don't listen to the Quran. Again, like we mentioned, it's this idea that the Quran challenges power structures, challenges ways of the world, challenges corruption, challenges injustice. They're saying, don't listen to this Quran and try to overpower it, drown it out, make noise. Laghu, laghu is this sort of useless frivolity. Just overflow it with frivolity so that you may be powerful, you may have victory. And so that's really what it is, in order to maintain that ghalaba that they have over people, over systems and communities, they need the Quran to be silenced. And that's their job. And our job then as communities is to allow the Quran to speak, let it flow, let it speak from us, to us, with us, within us. And so ultimately the Quran, because the Quran, if it's allowed, it would overcome everything. Al-Islamu ya'lu wa la yu'la alayh. This religion is such, it overpowers, it can never be overpowered. So even if all they can do is just decibels, that's all they have, but they don't have anything to actually challenge the Quran intrinsically by nature of what it is. And so that's why they're saying, don't listen to the Quran. They would tell people in Makkah, put buds in your ears and don't listen to the Quran. And then they would say, make all of this noise and drown out the Quran. So this is, and then at the end, the man Thumama ibn Uthal radiallahu anhu, he listened to the Quran and he said, this is the truth. And he accepted the message of Islam. And so if people are actually given the opportunity to listen to the Quran, they will definitely benefit from it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us people who are overpowered by the Quran and don't try to overpower the Quran. A'udhu billah. And we ask that he gives us ghalaba and gives the Muslims of the world victory through the Quran and allows it to become the spring of our hearts and the means of all of our success in this life and the hereafter. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.